Good evening. It's good to see everybody here. I am encouraged by your efforts to be out this evening in spite of the weather, and it's an encouragement to me. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you this evening, and I hope that the things that we have to say will be an encouragement to you as we look into God's Word, specifically the parables, some of the my favorite things to study, just the way that Jesus teaches, and there's so much there that he's trying to get us to understand, and so I think this can be really valuable to us as we look at the way that Jesus taught in parables. Matthew 13, that's where we're going to be tonight. Matthew chapter 13. Is where we're going to be studying the parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And I want to just read the parable to start with, and we'll make a few comments as we look at this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, in which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. There's a lot here as we look at just this one verse, this small parable that Jesus is trying to tell us something about the kingdom. This is a series of parables here about the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things that stands out to me about this kingdom is that it's always referenced in the Bible as something that is important to us, or should be important to us, is valuable, and there's some value there that has caused people to go throughout the world talking about this kingdom. And so Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 to he instructed them concerning the kingdom of God. And then at the end of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, in the very last verse, Paul is in prison, and it says he's teaching the kingdom of heaven. And so that's a powerful testament to me of what the book of Acts is about, but what Jesus was preparing them for when he's teaching these parables. He's preparing them for this kingdom that we see come to fruition in the book of Acts, to begin in the book of Acts. And so when he talks about this value here and the understanding of what we have, I think sometimes our view of government gets skewed because of corrupt or even just frail men trying to run that government. And so whatever your views are on politics here in this country, you see it all over the world. Men trying to run government, it's not perfect. It's not that valuable, even in our country where we have freedoms that we're thankful for. But this kingdom that's referenced in Scripture has value that can save us, value that can protect us, and it shows from this parable that it's something that's worth giving up everything for. And so that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes tonight. As we look at these things and we kind of dive into this parable a little bit deeper, we're going to look at the kingdom and what really this man is looking for. I think this is really interesting because this parable starts, it's a treasure hidden in a field, but a man found it. And so the first thing that we see really is you have this man, he's seeking something. He's out looking for something. And so he found maybe not even what he was looking for. He's seeking for some kind of treasure, something valuable. Isn't that true for most people in the world today? They're seeking something. Whether it's how to define life, how to look at eternal life. Maybe they're seeking comfort in this life, riches in this life, fame of others. To be something by the world standard. People are trying to be filled up in some way. And so this man is seeking something. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes. We've been reading Ecclesiastes on Monday evenings with a group that we get together and study with. And one of the points to me of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's going through, and his phrase is vanity of vanities. It's emptiness. I've tried all these things. I've sought out to find pleasure. I've worked diligently with my hands and amassed all these riches. And in chapter 2, and he says, and then I realize I have to leave it to my son, which is kind of funny because, you know, we see what happens when his son takes the kingdom and 10 tribes get taken away from him. And so he sees vanity of vanities. And the end of that writing, he says, but here's my conclusion about life and about everything. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Or some translation just says, this is the whole of man. People are seeking for something that's missing in them. And so often that seeking leads them to find all kinds of different things that are away from God, but it never fills them up. Our seeking, and we find something valuable. This man seeks for a treasure and he finds it. I think, easily distracted by some of these things. Jesus would say it this way in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The seeking, it matters what we're seeking for. It matters what we're looking for, looking to. If we seek with an honest heart, we will find the hope that we're looking for. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount again, says, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given to you, knock and it will be opened to you. What are we really looking for? Well, if we're looking for God, we'll find it. And God's made sure that that's the case. If we're looking for truth, we're going to find it. Well, this man is out looking for something, and it says he found the treasure. He found something valuable. And he realizes its value. And I think there's some significance to him hiding it back in the spot where he found it and then going and doing what he does next, which we'll look at in just a second. But the point here is that he found something valuable. And the value that he sees, it was more than what he was expecting to find. Isn't that true for us if we dig in and we're seeking after God and we find what the Scriptures say, we look to Jesus and we find more than what we were expecting to find? And that can be good for us. We'll talk in just a minute, the peace that surpasses all understanding. We find something, and sometimes people in finding the gospel, they find something they didn't know they were looking for, right? And I think that's what you see with this man here. And so he finds something of great value. He was, the kingdom offers answers that the kingdoms of this world can't answer. And so we see that he recognized the treasure was more valuable to him than everything he owned. Now that's value, right? That's value that he saw that he was willing to give something up for. That's when we realize something is valuable, right? What is it worth to us? What are we willing to give up? Jesus teaches similarly just a few chapters over, a few pages over maybe, in Matthew chapter 16 about discipleship, and he says something that really fits with this idea of this parable. So the context here in Matthew chapter 16 is really interesting to me as well, because what you have is Peter. Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And so they talk about who people are saying he is. And Jesus says, but what do you say about me? And Peter says, well, you're the Son, you're the Christ. You're the one we're looking for, the chosen one. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, that's right, and we have this discussion. And then just on the heels of that, he then starts talking to them about how he's going to have to go and suffer and die. And so Peter, the same one who said, you're the Son of God, said, that's never going to happen to you. We're not going to let that happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And that sparks this teaching, I think, at least in Matthew's account. He says to his disciples in verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I think that fit to me with this parable because you look at what this man sees when he finds the treasure in the field. He's willing to go and sell everything that he owns. That's what it was worth to him. What will it profit us if we gain the whole world but we lose our soul? What will it profit us if we see the value of the kingdom and we walk away from it? This man saw the value here and he was willing to give up all that he had. He didn't need to... His actions. So he saw that it was more than he was looking for. He recognized the treasure that was more valuable than everything he owned, and he acted based on the understood value. He understood how much it was worth, and he acted based on that. I think that's really important because he didn't have to have it evaluated. He didn't go and ask somebody, "Hey, I found this treasure, and I think it's worth something. But what do you think it's worth?" He didn't wait to see if it was really worth giving up everything that he owned. Like, let's let some time pass and we'll come back. We'll see if it was really worth that before I make the sacrifice. He sold his stuff and he bought the field. He acted. There's a basic understanding of what the kingdom of heaven offers to us. And that basic understanding of the gospel is that we receive through Jesus eternal life. Through Jesus' resurrection, we have hope of being raised from the dead. And at the end of the day, is that not valuable enough for us to sell everything that we own and follow Jesus? Jesus has made a way for us to live eternally in the presence of God. That's the value of the kingdom. This kingdom that was prophesied, that came about, that will never be destroyed. Here's what Jesus established. I think sometimes we could be like a person who would have to have it evaluated. You know, let's see, you know, is it worth, it's like my two-year-old, right? My two-year-old is really good at this. So I'll tell him, here's what you need to do. You know, I need you to pick that toy up and put it away. And if you obey, I have something that you really like that I'll give you. Usually it's like a munchkin from Dunkin' Donuts because that's kind of his thing. So like, I have this, you can have this if you'll do this, right? And immediately you see his brain spinning. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Like, if I don't pick up the toy, am I going to be okay not getting the reward, right? I think sometimes we do that with the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven. And maybe even at one point we saw the value, but then the daily life wears on us. And we start weighing out. I know the Lord wouldn't be pleased with this, but is it worth it right now in this moment? Is it worth it for me to go ahead and do this thing? Like, I understand what I'm giving up, but this seems really valuable right now in this moment, right? I think sometimes we weigh that out in our minds that way. We try to decide, is it really going to be worth it? I think Paul answers that question for us. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, it'll mean fruitful labor. Here's what I see valuable. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I've already been poured out as a drink offering. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I know there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He was certain. In chapter 1 of that same letter, he says, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him. I know. This man in this parable knew. He knew what that value was. And he went and gave up everything for that value. We need to be able to, as people who are trying to be followers, and I think that's a great thing. We're sitting in an audience. In some ways, this parable is preaching to the choir. You're seekers. You're here tonight, which says you're seekers. You wouldn't be here if you weren't looking. And the fact that you're here in spite of the weather, and you see value in what's being taught. That's powerful. But how does that work on a day-to-day basis? How does that work on a moment-to-moment basis? What are our thoughts and our intentions? I think it's important for us to weigh all those things out and understand in every moment the value that we've been given in the kingdom. I think the next thing that we see, I don't worry about it. Maybe you can get it to click to the next thing. I don't know. Is the joy. So the next thing that stands out to me in this verse is the joy. He says, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He rejoiced in his new possession. I understand that every day of this life is not going to bring happiness to us. That's not really what's being talked about here either, I don't think. I think there is an understanding, again, of the value that leads us to joy, true joy, that we understand, again, we're weighing out this life, which will end, which will be destroyed. All the physical things will be destroyed versus eternal life. And we have, through Christ, eternal life. Doesn't that give us reason to rejoice in the things that we've been promised? It's the joy that can only come from knowing Jesus. I was thinking about this, and a lot of times, I don't know about you all, I make a big purchase, make a sacrifice. I go, and even if it's something that I need, I had to go and buy a new laptop a year ago because mine quit working. And that's not a cheap purchase, right? And immediately I bought it, and I was like, man, is that a good purchase? You know, buyer's remorse, right? You guys ever have buyer's remorse? Man, was it worth it? I don't think that we're going to, after this life is over, be around the throne of God and think, man, was it worth it? What I gave up? Nothing in Scripture says that that's going to be. As a matter of fact, we see the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is not concerned about all the struggles that he had in his life. He's in paradise. He's in Abraham's bosom, as the text tells us in Luke. I think there's something that we have to be able to look to. We understand that what Jesus offers, that we should be eternally grateful and rejoice in those things. It's Paul's attitude that he represents for us in Philippians chapter 4. When we look at kind of how Paul speaks about his faith and about the way that he lived, it's really encouraging for us. And I think sometimes we may say, oh, but that's Paul. You know, that was the Apostle Paul. He had the Holy Spirit. That's another level of being a Christian. We can't really attain to that. That's just not true. Paul was a man, and he struggled with the things. Yes, he was an apostle. Yes, he received the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, he did all these great things for the kingdom, but he was still a man who had to make those decisions and those choices. He fasted for 3 days before he decided he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus, which I think is pretty impressive to think about. Philippians chapter 4, and you probably know this verse, at least have heard of it or aware of it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do we get to a point to where we're able to rejoice always? Because I think I struggle with that a little bit, because the cares of this world bear on all of us. We start looking at the struggles that we're going through, the struggles that people around us are going through, and it's, why are we able to rejoice always? Well, really, it's because of those struggles, right? Because they're going to go away. And we have something that will last forever, that is eternal. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that that is exactly what the kingdom was established to do, to protect those who were in the kingdom. And our minds are protected, our hearts, our lives are protected through this kingdom that we have. I think this is really, again, you know, for as far as parables go, it's maybe one of the shortest parables that we have. Maybe right next to it is the one up under it about the pearl, that the person goes and buys the pearl with everything that he owns. But I think we understand that that's not the decision that everybody makes. As a matter of fact, as you're reading through Matthew's account of the gospel, there is a young man who comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. A successful young man. He's called the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus looking for more in life. And he's seeking, right? He is seeking out. And he sees that value. He says in verse 16, he says, someone came to him and said, teacher, what good things shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? I love that question, first of all. What good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's a seeker. That's a question that somebody who is seeking is going to ask. What do I do? That question implies that you're looking, and whatever you say, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to hear. He's not qualifying that. It's just, what should I do? Well, that's the question we all need to ask. Jesus said to him, what are you asking me about? What is good? There's only one who is good, and if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments. He says to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not commit murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? I think even in that, there's an honest heart here that's saying, I want to make sure that I'm right. What am I missing? Tell me what I need to know. And Jesus says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, but it words it this way, and I like this, if you wish to be complete, I like that statement, if you wish to be whole, here's what you do. Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Isn't that the same thing that we see from this parable of the hidden treasure? This man just sees the value. He just goes and sells everything that he owns, and he buys the field. He sees what's valuable, and he acts. This successful ruler comes to the right source. He's seeking. He comes to Jesus. He asks the right question. And he gets an answer. And I think for so long I've read this story and I've said, well, you did everything right. Why didn't he just do what Jesus said? I mean, it's Jesus after all. It's one of those situations like I'm pointing at somebody else, you know, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself, right? How many times has Jesus shown me exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and I walk away sorrowful, not willing to do it? And so we have this contrast here. You have the man in the parable who's willing to give up everything. And you have this good man, at least by some standards, he kept the commandments, he followed Jesus, he came to Jesus, but he wasn't willing to give up everything. He went away sorrowful. He didn't really see the true value. And so he didn't rejoice, but he went away sorrowful. So Jesus said to his disciples in verse 23, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said, "With people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." You know, there are a few times when Jesus is teaching his disciples, and I think they get it. They actually understand what he's saying. And this is one of those times when Jesus is saying, if your focus is on your riches, it's hard for this to happen. As a matter of fact, however you look at this reference, they understood the reference to say it's impossible for this to happen. This can't be done. And Jesus said, "Oh no, but with God it is possible." You see, that's the answer to the parable even. When the man sells everything that he owns because he sees the value. The answer to this rich young ruler was to see the value that Jesus was offering him. "If you wish to be complete, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can't break in and steal." We have protection. We have the idea of being imperishable. It can't be taken away. That is our reward in heaven. In the short few years we have on this earth, we have a choice to make. And it's maybe I'm oversimplifying the choice, because it's really not just this simple, but then it also kind of is this simple. Do we pursue the thing of greatest value in God's eyes, or do we pursue the thing of greatest value in our eyes? And that's really the choice that we have. And every decision that we make is going to say something about what is actually most valuable. In spite of everything that we do, whether it's related to our school, whether it's related to our work, our family, if our goal is not heaven, those decisions will get warped. Our focus will get warped and off kilter because something else has become more important. How often do we get distracted by the thousands of other little things that are being thrown at us on a daily basis? And, you know, maybe we don't like to think about this too much, but that's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what Satan is doing. He's looking at our lives and he's saying, "Oh, let's see how busy I can make your life. Because if your life is really, really busy, you don't have time to think about God. You don't have time to help others. You don't have time to think of what other people might need because your life is busy. So you're going to think about yourself." Isn't that at the end of the day kind of what happens with the rich young ruler? He looked at himself and wasn't willing to give up of his stuff for other people. He said, "Go and sell and give it to the poor and come and follow me." So when we look at this parable, we look at what Jesus is trying to get us to see, get his disciples to see, and get us to see about the kingdom of heaven. I think the lesson here is that we have to be people who see value in what Jesus came to die for. After all, Jesus saw the value in being obedient to God to the point of death, death on the cross, and God raised him up and seated him at the right hand. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Because of his obedience to God, God's plan, are you willing to give up what Jesus was willing to give up? Maybe you're like the rich young ruler and you're not willing to give up all that you have to obtain it. I might just remind you that Jesus says, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We have the great reward that is eternal life. And that's really, you know, when you think about the gospel and you think about what the apostles came to do and what they did in the book of Acts and what Paul was willing to go to prison for and be beaten and do all these difficult things that we look at and we say, wow. Because, I mean, we don't have to make those decisions, really. In a lot of ways, maybe we should make them more than we do. Why did he do that? Why was he willing to do that? I think when it boils down to it, he understands the difference between earthly and heavenly. Something that will be taken away or something that will end that's finite and something that will last forever. And that's something that we can't see with our eyes, right? And so Paul says we got to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see with our eyes, and so it also makes it difficult for us on a daily basis. It makes it difficult for me as we're trying to serve God and do his will. Our goal has to be, I've got to keep in mind heaven. I've got to keep in mind eternal life. That's preached. I love John's gospel. Because every time I read John's gospel, I'm reminded the point is eternal life. How many different times in John's gospel does he point out the goal of eternal life? He talks about it to Nicodemus. He talks about it to the Samaritan woman. He comes again and he talks about it at Lazarus' resurrection. And then in John 14, he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And they're like, where are you going? How do we find it? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the message of the kingdom. That's this kingdom that this man finds so valuable that he sells everything. Because if it originates with God, it can't be overthrown. God has established it. So maybe there's somebody here tonight and you realize that your life is not being spent. You're not living it in a way that says, I see the value in the kingdom of heaven. I see what God came to do. And you want to change that. You want to live giving up everything. Whatever that thing is. You know, Luke's account of the rich young ruler, we didn't read it, but I think it's really noteworthy. He says, Jesus tells the rich young ruler, there's one thing that you still lack. I always think, that's really interesting. So what's the one thing that's keeping you from giving up everything? What is that one thing that's standing in your way? Maybe you realize that tonight and you need to make that right. Maybe you realize that you've never given up everything at all to follow Jesus and you need to be buried in the waters of baptism, raised up to walk in a new life. Whatever the case may be for you, maybe it's the case of you just need to, as we're singing this song, you need to ask for God's forgiveness and you need to pray to God to help you to be more devoted to Him. Our goal every day, whether it's when we leave this building now, whether it's when we wake up in the morning, is to rejoice like this man who found this treasure in the field rejoices, knowing that we have an eternal reward. So if there's anything we can do for you this evening, we ask you to come while we stand, while we sing.